Our next speaker is Jose Lopez to really take us up to the next level and talk about sustainable water use relative to irrigated agriculture. So, Jose.
Thank you. Morning. So I'm going to talk a little bit about an approach that we developed to try to understand the impact of using sustainable water use in the U.S. using the desert crop model. So the objective of this work was to estimate the effect of sustainable water use on maize, soybean, and wheat across the continental United States if we were to use water sustainably. So the problem is that when you look at how we have been mining the aquifers basically in the U.S., we have been taking out more water out of the aquifers than their recharge rate is. So basically what we propose is, well, we need to reduce, well, which it's not what we propose, right? It's basically at some point we will need to reduce the amount of water that we're taking out of the aquifers because the aquifers are drying up and the aquifer levels are going down. Some of the regions that have shown historically the most problem within the United States are the Mississippi Delta region, the United States Great Plains, and also, of course, in the western United States, especially Arizona and California. And another region with a lower level of mining, but still maybe a concern in the future, is in the eastern coast of the United States. So we went about this using the DSAT model. So we used a gridded version of DSAT. Basically, it's called PDSAT that was developed by Joshua Elliott. He's one of our collaborators. And basically what this does is it takes data from different data sources in order to use them to run the model. So we take the weather data from the DAMET source and the soil data from the Harmonized World Soil Database. And then using planting and maturity date for each state, then this calibration was done by Joshua. Joshua calibrated for phenology, and he got some also gridded data from nitrogen fertilizer that was used across the United States. So this is an example of an older paper from Joshua where he used this PDSAT approach to run the DSAT model across the United States. Actually, he used a combination of models for this particular study. So we went a little more into detail into the United States using different data sources. So we, for example, we started with in order to determine where the irrigated crops are, we used a MODIS derived data set that it's published by the USGS and basically tells you with a 200 meter resolution where the irrigated agriculture is in the United States. So basically you can see the Mississippi Delta region shows up with a lot of irrigated agriculture. You see that the Great Plains also show up, and of course California. And in order to know what those crops are, because this tells you where the irrigated area is but not what crop it is, we overlap this with the CDL, that is a product that is released every year by the USDA, has a 30-meter resolution and tells you what crop is planted where. So using a combination of these two, we determine within the grid cells of our simulations, that are 5 arc minute cells, about 10 kilometers by 10 kilometers, how much and where is the irrigated agriculture located. So this is for maize in 2012, for example. You can see a lot of irrigated maize over here, a little less in the Mississippi Delta region, but still quite significant, and of course in California and also in the West Coast. So this is for maize. Then soybean, we did a similar analysis, so you can see that a lot of irrigated soybean in the Mississippi Delta region and very little irrigated soybean in the western United States. And again, for wheat, you can see that wheat, definitely in the Great Plains, there's a lot of irrigated wheat. So now that we have the locations for the grids that we're going to simulate, then we wanted to know how well we were doing for water use in the model. So again, it is hard to get good ET data. So the best that we were able to get is this modeled approach that is basically using satellite imagery. There's this ALEXI approach that was developed by the Anderson group. And then basically what they do is they use thermal sensing from the satellite from satellites, and then they use an energy balance based on that to estimate evapotranspiration. And then the trick of this approach is that, well, this measurement is reliable on sunny days. When you have a cloudy day, it's not reliable. So what they do is they do reverse modeling in order to get to fill the gaps, the temporal gaps that they have on the cloudy days. And then you get this ET data set across the United States at a high resolution at a daily temporal scale. So this is what we use in order to compare our DSAT predicted ET to. So in order to compare DISA to Alexi, we need to be able to compare apples with apples, right? So we needed to filter out the grids that where we can be confident that DISA is giving us a prediction that is representative for the grid. So we determined using the previous data sets which grids have at least 50% of the known vegetation from the desired crops. And then we aggregated the Alexi data set temporally and spatially in order to get basically five arc-minute grids from the Alexi data set that was at a lower resolution than that, and then also to match the planting date and the maturity date of the crop. So basically we aggregated that over that time. And then for the DSAT, we got a weighted average of the seasonality for the crops that are planted within each grid. And then we were finally able to compare PDSAT with Alexi. And this is how the comparison looks like. It's pretty good. And so we initially had a calibration for yield. We took that out because that was taking off, messing up with the ET response. So this is without yield calibration, and we're still trying to work on a way to improve basically yield and ET at the same time. We're currently writing that algorithm. So this is what we're going to use for this particular study. So, and because the ET, because we took out the yield calibrations for this particular study, then the production over the U.S. is quite overestimated. So basically, you can see, for example, this is the national production. So basically, in the United States, in megatons, how much maize was produced based on the NAS survey data for each year and based on the PDSAT simulations. And you can see that, for example, for maize, DSAT, it is to some extent simulating the changes in yield across years, but it's very much overestimating the NAS approach. It's doing a little worse for wheat, for soybean, and even worse for wheat. But so this is what we're working with, and hopefully soon we can get a better estimation of final yield doing a better calibration using the ET combined with the NAS survey data. So then we needed to estimate for each grid what would be reasonable or water use. So in order to do this, we used this data set that was developed by the by this group also that I think they also work in the USGS. And they released this data set where they at a grid level, they estimated, they did a water balance and then estimated deep water percolation. And then based on that, they estimated aquifer effective recharge rate. And in order to estimate the sustainability for each county, they divided extraction rates for each county that are reported by the USDA by the effective aquifer recharge rate. And then they obtained these levels of sustainability for each county. So this is in order to determine how much water we should apply for each county. The approach that we did is we divided basically this number. We inverted this, basically the effective recharge by the extraction rate, and this gives us, like, for example, if you're using 10 times more the water than you should, then you should reduce the groundwater extraction for irrigation to 10% of what you're currently using. So this is the approach that we did, and then, so in order to do this, we basically so inverted that factor that they calculated, and then we took the USGS data for each county from soil. From surface and groundwater use for irrigated agriculture, and then we multiply the groundwater use of the irrigated portion by this factor in order to get the sustainable fraction for each county for irrigation. And then taking it to the crop, then in order to get the non-sustainable water use or a current level of water use to multiply by our factor, we just run this at with a well-watered simulation, then we multiply that by the sustainable fraction, and then we obtained a sustainable amount for water use in a particular county. Then what we did with that is we ordered the grids based on water use efficiency in order to have a consistent approach to allocate water, and then we basically allocated water just to the based on the sustainable amount just to the counties that could be to the grid cells which within each county that could be irrigated using this water amount, and then based on that sustainable based on those grids we calculated the sustainable production amount for the United States for these crops. So this is the approach that we used. It's of course there's still a lot of improvements that can be done to this approach, but this is the first hack that we did to tackle this problem. So these are the model results. Let me just get a few data here just to put in context what this means. So basically, this is the irrigated corn in the United States, and we did a rest between, so basically we calculated the difference between the sustainable and non-sustainable yield, and then we calculated the percentage loss out of that. And then we saw that the irrigated corn losses, if we were to irrigate sustainably based on this approach, we would lose about 30% of the corn yield. This, if we put that into context, about 21 or 20% of the total maize production in the U.S. is irrigated. So basically, we would lose about 6% of the irrigated of the total corn production. Then, in terms of the soybean, the loss was less. That was only 9%, and then the soy, it's about 12% of the irrigated agriculture in the U.S. So when you get this together, it's about a loss of about 1% of the total soybean production in the United States. And finally, irrigated wheat, we obtained 34% loss. This is probably because there's significant wheat production in the Great Plains, and this is a water-restricted region. And then, so this is about, so about 13% of the wheat production in the U.S. is irrigated, so this comes to about 4.4% of the total U.S. production that would be lost. So this is our work. Thank you for your time, so I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. That's a good question. I haven't analyzed that data in that way, but it's a good question to have and to analyze. Sorry about that. I don't have an answer right now. Yes, sir.
In 2012 drought year in the Midwest, in 2011 drought in the Great Plains, have you considered the drought impact on irrigation?
Yes, and because. Well, first, we're not only using 5 years of simulation between 2008 and 2012 for this assessment, and then we're calculating the water demand from the crop based on the what DSAT automatically puts out. So that would be the way to consider this drought years. That basically you have to put more water in order to get a well water crop. That is the approach that we're using. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You mentioned the discrepancy between the DSAT yields and the NAS.
Yes.
I think that's a really interesting question, but I mm-hmm. wouldn't worry about it from your perspective, because there's so many reasons why yield will be below what the model does. You've got water logging, dry spots in fields, maybe weeds, diseases, anything that hammers yield is going to show up in the NAS statistics, but the models aren't going to get it unless you use that as an input.
Okay. Yeah.
Ken, isn't your yield from the PD set of non-water limited, so it should be higher?
The
considering water limitation in your PD set. Because that's how you got that water demand.
If I am not considering water limitations in the PDSAT value for
are
what
you doing
part?
Grain fed?
So depends on where. Like I am doing grain fed for to get this comparison here. So this is everything, right? Grain fed and irrigated in order to get higher and low ETs. And then here, this is only irrigated agriculture.
One more question.
Yes.
That always stops the questions. All right. Thanks, Jose.
Thank you.